The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If children or other people are acting out with rebellion toward God, or just being lazy, should we continue to help them financially? How is it that we could better offer them real help? Hi, friend. Thank you for joining us today here on Grace in Focus. This is a radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're delighted that you're joining us today. We are a focused free grace ministry, and you can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. Find our free online seminary, our subscription-free magazine, Grace in Focus, and our bookstore, where you can find our founder, Bob Wilkins' most recent book, Grace is Still Under Siege. Oh, and we have our annual national conference coming up very soon. Be sure and get registered for that. It's all at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
All right, Bob, we have another question. This one's from Jeff, asking about children who have fallen away from the faith or become prodigals. There's a lot to the question, but I think the important part is, as believers, will we lose, and specifically parents, do we lose reward for telling a prodigal child in need no, or will supporting a prodigal child in their immoral lifestyle with money given by God to be a good steward over cause a loss of reward? So do we support or do we not support? What is rewardable? What is displeasing in the eyes of God?
Yeah. Now, I think he went on to say this was actually a sister, but the same principle would apply to your son, to your daughter, whatever. And the question is, say you've got someone who's walking in the spiritual far country. Should we be helping that person financially while the person is, you name it, a drug addict, while the person is a sex addict, while the person is walking in rebellion against the Lord? Should we be helping them financially? I think this is an outstanding question that Jeff is raising, because there are some biblical principles on both sides. On the one side, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. And the situation there was, there were people in the church of Thessalonica who were so convinced that the rapture was going to occur any day now, they quit working. But what they were doing is mooching off of the other believers in the church in Thessalonica. Mm-hmm. So Paul says, stop that. Don't give them any food. Don't feed them. Don't help them. If they're able to work and they're unwilling to work, then let them not eat.
Right, because that money was probably supposed to be for widows and orphans who couldn't work, or for the evangelists and the preachers who that was their work.
Right, so don't use that money on someone who could work but is choosing not to work. Well, on the one hand, you have that. But then you have other verses like Galatians 6:10, let us do good to all, especially to the household of faith. Mm-hmm. So say, for example, that this person is a fellow believer, but they're a believer who's strayed. Well, does household of faith include believers who've strayed? Well, of course, all certainly does, because that would even include unbelievers, right? Let us do good to all, mm-hmm. especially the household of faith. So we have that principle as well. But then you have the question, what is doing good for the prodigal? If you think of Luke 15, with the prodigal son, the father gives him his inheritance early. The son goes off to spiritual Las Vegas, and he wastes his money on prodigal living. Where's the father?
Waiting for him, but not supporting him.
He's not in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
He's not going after the son. Now, when the son comes to his senses and comes back, he finds his father has gone partway out to greet him. Mm-hmm. Evidently, his father's been looking for his return, and at some point in the distance, he sees him coming, and he goes out to his son. But he doesn't go all the way to the far country to seek his son. Now, it's a little different with the parable of the lost sheep. Because mm-hmm. there, the shepherd has 100 sheep in the fold, and one of them strays, and the shepherd goes and finds him and brings him back. So that's a little different, and I think what we should recognize is, even in the case of the prodigal son, the father was drawing him back by causing the famine.
Right. Because if you, maybe it's reading too much into the parables, but with a sheep, if you go out and find the sheep, a shepherd will just pick it up and carry it back to the flock. The father, if he went to the prodigal son in the midst of his debauchery, he probably wouldn't have gone back willingly. I guess he could have knocked him out and dragged him. But it's a little bit of a different scenario. One is just lost. The other is choosing that lifestyle. And you're right. It's God's judgment that is on the prodigal son. He realizes laying in the filth and pig slop that this is not the life he wants to live, so he goes back to the father.
That's a good point. Now, even in the case, however, of the lost sheep, there's 100 sheep, and he ends up by saying, these represented 100 righteous people who didn't need repentance, and now he's talking about 99 who didn't need repentance and one that did. So I would even argue that in the case of the sheep that wandered off, that was unrighteousness that caused them to wander off. But in any case, coming back to Jeff's question, I think it would depend on the situation. For example, if you have a child or a relative that is a drug addict, if you give them money, what's the money going to go for? It's going to be supporting their drug habit.
Yeah.
In fact, in psychology, this is called enabling. And the same thing would be true, let's say the person's involved in immorality. They're married, but they're living with somebody else, but they want help with you because it's hard to pay for two households. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to help them. But I could imagine there might be some situations where you would have a person that was in the spiritual far country and you might help them. And I'm not even sure what that would be. I tend to think it would be something where the person has demonstrated, at least said, they're determined to make things right, to repent and to change.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
Maybe, for example, let's say that Jeff's relative wanted to go into rehab. Mm-hmm. Would Jeff pay for it? Well, wouldn't that be good to pay for their rehab?
Yeah.
And it could be pretty expensive, too. But if they thought this was a legitimate effort at change, then it would seem to me that would be worth it. But if the person doesn't want rehab, they just want money, it wouldn't be. And I don't know, maybe I can't think of a good example, but...
Well, I think it's simpler. We're commanded to love our neighbor.
Yeah.
So if you have a relative or anyone who is a believer but has fallen out of fellowship, they've gone into the far country, they're no longer living like a brother, but they're still your neighbor. So they're not less than. So you should give them the shirt off your back. If they're beaten up on the side of the road, you should take them to the inn, give them money so that they can stay there until they're better. So you should still love them in all the ways we should love a stranger, I think. But it's not to the degree of the way you love someone else in your church, or at least care for the person in your church, because the fellowship is not going both ways. You will be taken advantage of.
Okay, now you raise an interesting point. So your example of the Good Samaritan, I think, is an interesting one, because on the one hand, I see what you're saying. The Lord would say, yeah, pick him up, clean him up, take him to the inn, and then if you have to leave, pay for his rehab or his treatment. But on the other hand, that's not dealing with a situation where someone is in spiritual rebellion against the Lord in that story. So I don't know. It's hard to decide in that case. You know the expression tough love?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me this is more like a tough love situation. For example, let's say your child is a drug addict and they're spending their money on drugs, and you've tried to help them multiple times, and they've misused your money. So finally, you exert tough love. Well, it seems to me you are loving your neighbor as yourself if you cut off the money.
Right.
Because you want them to repent. Now, of course, Jeff would be praying for them, right? he would be reaching out to them as if the opportunity arises to say, hey, you know, I'm here to help if you're ready to get back with the Lord, etc. But I don't know, that's a good question on what is loving your neighbor as yourself when they're in the far country.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Loving your neighbor doesn't mean giving someone everything they ask for, but it's giving them what they need. And you're right. Sometimes that's a bed and a meal, and sometimes it's prayer and separation. Because if with the prodigal son, God is the father, the son is us in separation from him.
Yeah.
And the way he's drawing the son back is through, you know, judgment, through the consequences of that person's sin. So I think the answer, Jeff, is to pray and discern what is, you know, righteous and what is good in God's eyes, and then what is interfering with God's plan for that person. Because if they're living a certain way, then God's already calling them back to him through the suffering they're going through. But if you just alleviate the suffering, that's kind of fighting the symptom and not the problem.
Oh, that's a good point. And I like your point about discernment. Whatever we do is to be the loving thing.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we need to be prayerful and carefully consider what is the loving thing. Because oftentimes our tendency is to do the thing the person wants us to do for them, even if that's not in their best interest. Because
mm-hmm.
we want to please them, right? We want them to say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, I'm going to be different.
Right.
But if we're convinced that's not the right thing to do, then that would be a mistake. Well, I love the question, Jeff, and I'm glad we've had a chance to think about this. But the key in all of life, remember when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandments were?
Mm-hmm.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul says all of the law is commanded in one word or one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. So whatever you do is to be loving. But the key is to discern what is loving.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of someone who's an addict of some sort, the loving thing is to prayerfully bring them back from this place where they're out of fellowship with God, assuming they're a believer. Or if they're unbeliever, the thing to do is to bring them back so they can hear the saving message and be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks so much, Jeff, and thank you all. And remember, let's
keep grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, what does Jesus mean that we are citizens of heaven? Please join us, and in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.